So if we just give a hakdama, what these inyanim are, if we can ask ourselves, Hilchis, I mean, all of these inyanim that Rama is telling us about, what's the shayrish of it? You know, it's not a random assortment of nice things for Talmud Chacham to be. So what's the tzara shavet? And I think what's going to be very important for us is, since not everything is applicable, either because it's not bizman, is there some of the things, or because we don't consider ourselves fantastic Talmid Chachamim, I first need to get an understanding of what's called Derech Eretz that's been taken. You know, all these inyanim that he speaks about, what are these behaviors? Let's take a look at the first sentence, and then we'll get a sense. Aleph. Kishem shachacham nika b'chachmasoi b'dei oisav, v'umuftal b'mishar ha'am, kach tzor shen nika b'maisav macholoi mashkeyo b'belosoi b'asi etzrochov diburoi b'luchoi v'abushe b'chulfut voro v'maso matari. Let's get a sense of it. The Rambam's mahalach in Hilchas Deis is like this. The tzura mitukenes of a person, the koima of a person that's right, has the seichel on top, the person's emotional interactions, the person's attitude and reactions are shaped and controlled by seichel, and his hanhogis are shaped in a way that demonstrate the primacy and the control of seichel over every aspect of his hanhogis. So let's even take something in like Umus Ha'ilam, when you have etiquette. The etiquette seems to be a mahalach of providing a sense of control over a person's instincts, appetites, drives, cravings. And there's a beauty to a person that the person is in control of himself and not that his body is taking him to wherever it wants. So the klal of this whole perek is as follows, that the mitzvah of alachta bedrachov is, the Rambam says v'forshimor nevuchim, the mitzvah of alachta bedrachov is that just like by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagis start with the midah of chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a midah that they retz hanhagis. So too a person, his own hanhagis from the top down should all be controlled by seichel. And they should show the control of seichel over the person rather than the other way around. Let's give an example of something very different, and we'll see in a second. If let's say we hear a gunshot, so we run the other direction. That's a reflex, and it's our body's reflex. If you hear a loud noise, you go. As Rav Sher pointed out in Nosu Lekoilom, that's sometimes it says you run away when there's an explosion. That's a natural reflex. A soldier or someone who's trained himself doesn't run away. He starts by forcing himself to stay. And then it becomes his anhaga that doesn't follow the reflex of the body, but imposes rather the das to direct the way he wants to go to. So the appropriate anhaga of a person is going to be in different areas, things that show the primacy of the seichel and the das, and the guf drawing back, recessing. It's not an all or nothing. It's something which a person needs to figure out, hadragas. And all these areas that he's going to address, it's not going to be absolute either exactly where it is or not. People need to use their own seichel and das to figure out where they're holding and so on. So there is nobody, just like the word chacham is not an absolute value, like chacham X or Y or Z does this or that or the other thing, but rather chacham is somebody who it's different madregas and chachma, it'll be this also. So he says a whole range of human activities that fall under it, and we'll see in each one a little bit about it. Ketzah. The first thing is achil and shtia. It is ma'us that a person is is taken by food. I always use an example. It's not Lashon Hara, it's unfortunate. You know, we have somebody who comes occasionally, who comes always to the yeshiva, and whenever there's food or some cream, he dives in head first. It's because the person unfortunately has no control mechanism. It's part of his, whatever his issue is. The truth be said, we would do the same. Mitzad the icing on the cake, we would act the same. The only thing is, we have a certain sense of us as being human, as being chashev, and therefore we restrain ourselves. But it's a restraint of the seichel saying, you can't let the food and your stomach be your reflex. You need to forget. You walk in, you take your time, you sit down, and so on. Keta, talcholi a gargara. He shouldn't be osuk in taivas achila. There's something about a person who the food controls him that is a negation of the value of das. If my das tells me I shouldn't be fressing, and I can't help it, there's something about that. He should eat stuff that's healthy for him. And not overeat. And it shouldn't be a person that's always filling himself to burst. Kabbalah means in the Vim. Vezeresi peres al pnecha. Omru chachamim elu bnei adam sho'eichlem v'shoysim v'oizkamein kechayim. People that are osuk in achila. It's one of the things that, unfortunately, in America, it's something that is extremely the food culture, and it's a whole masomaten. It's a masomaten. Where did you eat? What did you eat? How's this restaurant compared to the other restaurant? Which restaurant's better? Which restaurant's worse? There's something about it. Achila and shtia basically caters to almost the lowest part of a person's physical instincts. So a person needs to eat, he needs to eat. But that should become a hisaskus. We're going out to eat, we're eating. Those are things that are migareya from a person. And the tzur of a chacham is someone has control over it, and that's not the way he acts. And he says, ve'im o'imer ochel v'shtoy kimoch nomus, v'zemaychel o'rishoy. V'shulchones elu heim shegina kosev omek ikol shulchones molu kit soyev limokon. So when the psukim say about there are certain tables that are full of so and so on and so forth, avlachochem eina oichel, alatashel echod oishnayim v'oichem ekei chayav v'dayav. V'ushav v'shoyim mitzadik oichel sev nafshem. So overeating means that the person has no control over himself. It's very interesting. I was speaking to somebody a while back who runs a big center for addictive behavior. And he told me people make a mistake. You know, they look at alcohol addiction as one thing and narcotic addiction as a second thing and food addiction. He said the tzad hashava of addiction is where the body takes over and the seichel is not at all capable of controlling the body. That's it's the loss of control, and the seichel is no longer the driver's seat. So the tzura of a person eating, now again, like we said before, we're not expected to be at the top of the ladder, but each person needs to get a sense of himself. A clamping down on your achila, kefi what you are mitzad chachma and seichel, is an embodiment of your das. Being in control of yourself.
So in an ideal world, you wouldn't have restaurants?
We'll see in a second. Let's see the next one. Kishbeis, kishachochem oichol me'at zehoroiloi. And when a chochem eats what he needs to eat, lo yechlenu el bebeis al shechon, he eats it at home. But lo yoichol b'chanut v'le b'shuch v'tzorech gadol. And you eat out only when there's a big tzorech. Kideish v'zganef ha'viyas. It's a certain gnai. In other words, a person being oisik, for a person who is a bal seichel and das, being oisik in food, it's a bodily function of sorts, and it's not something that I should be doing b'tzavsa. The eating out, so the perfect answer is yes. If there are restaurants whose purpose is people can't cook a meal, so somebody cooks it for them. But when it becomes a culture of its own, the eating out part of it is a giroyen. It's, you know, it's not an activity, come, let's eat. Food can serve as a chetimtze for Sudas Mitzvah. The Sudas Mitzvah, I don't know if a birthday party counts as Sudas Mitzvah, Machlekes and many Shitas, whether a birthday party counts as Sudas Mitzvah or not, but I'm saying...
Anniversary.
Now, let's take something like this. Obviously, if your family is not inclined to this type of stuff, and they go out, and it's insulting them if you're not going out, whatever it is, it's not issa v'heta, but it's something, there's something debasing to see. If you were to walk in and to see an Adam Gadol, you walk into a restaurant, you know, Coney on Essex and Coney, I forgot which one it's called, and you walk in and see Rav Leib Shteyman sitting with Ruchaim Kanevsky eating. You couldn't picture it, and you would feel cheap, you'd feel it's very cheap. It's something about the achila becoming a center of when you create an event around something that becomes a center. When you make a siyum, and then you make a suda to cover the siyum is the event that brings it together. The suda is a chetimtza. But when you go out to eat, that's what you're doing. You're going out to eat. He should only eat out if he has to. Somebody's in a strange city, he has no place to eat. He needs to go somewhere to eat, so he's going to go to a store and eat. But I remember when I was growing up on the East Side, there were a lot of people that didn't have people who lived alone, and some places didn't even have kitchens. So there were a bunch of restaurants that were sort of basically for people to come and eat supper. But as something... Kedesha is kind of a business. I mean, I still remember there were many chashuva people that would not eat. You could never see them eating. It wasn't something they would never eat. They wouldn't eat when people were around. It was considered to be a mark of chisus. And the people that you associate with when you eat, because of the ambience or the negative ambience, when you have people around who are coarse and vulgar and light and so on. And he's not someone that's always asik and sudas. And when it's a very public suda, there's also something degrading about it. And so this brings a separate thing that you weren't netted from other people. Gimel. In the old days, and maybe today it's also true, people drank wine as the means of digesting the meal. It was considered to be a way of digesting. Today it's still somewhat. So that type of drinking is fine, obviously. And if a person drinks to become drunk, and it's something the Rambam speaks about in Mordechai Vuchim, we saw it a few weeks ago, we didn't see it actually this year. The Rambam says that people who drink in order to get drunk are worse than people that are Isaac in Arayis. He said in Arayis, it starts out with a taiva. In drinking, you don't have a real physical taiva to drink. You want to short circuit your seichel. That's what you want to do. When a person goes out to drink, what does he want to do? And it's a sign if you read, you know, if you read books about Umos Haolam, they drink as regularly as you daven Mincha Ma'ariv. The evening is a happy hour to go and to short circuit the brain a little bit so that you could let yourself loose. I mean that's part of a person's day. A bar should be muktzeh machmas mias to a person's ben Torah. It's a bar means a place that people go to switch their brains not in their brains in terms of their control off. Their tongues are a little looser, their mice are a little looser, and so on. This should be something very, very repulsive to somebody whose das he considers to be the davar chashuv. So becoming drunk when its purpose is very meguna. Umasid chachmasay. And when we say masid chachmasay, like we say many times in the Maral, we're not talking about how many daf you know. You also, if you drink enough, you'll forget that. But I'm talking about a person's chachma being the center of his personality, a person who acts according to what he understands and knows to be right. And if somebody says he's mishtakev b'fnei amoritz, harei zeh chilus Hashem. And the vasa l'shoshiyam b'tzarayim and so on. Again, this is different on hoggis when they eat the main meal and not so relevant for us. Yes?
As far as like the oinik.
As far as the oinik.
Like, there was beer.
Yes.
Meaning, you're not doing it as I'm trying to subvert my seichel, I'm doing it as a...
So many, if the ambience that comes out afterwards is conducive to Kedusha, that is positive. There's an old Chassidish word about why do they drink before, you know, at a get-together. So there are two phrases used. One is, you grease the wheels of the cart. It's not the grease on the wheels doesn't make it go, but it makes it easier to go. Or you get the bad guy drunk, and then you can continue on your way, or something like that. So the test, the proof is in the pudding. If a person loosens up and is able to be mizdavik and so on, someone told me, we spoke yesterday actually about Chabad, and we mentioned there was somebody who split off Chabad. He was called the Malach, or Avram Dov Levi. He really was an extraordinary person, who was Mishich Molamayla, a Kaddish Elyon, very extreme. He lived in Muncie. And the Rav Gedalia Shor's uncle, I think, or father, was a big chasser of his. And so someone who told me, who remembered him, told me that he would start the evening sometimes with one or two bottles of vodka, and then he would say chassidus straight all night long. You know, he would pour out, you know, he told me, he remembers a Shemoneh Esrei of his, he said he would stand, because of Chabad they didn't believe in motions, he would stand ramrod straight, and he said the floor would be wet with tears. So for this person, when he releases his control, what pours out is Das Elokim. So yes, so the proof lies in the pudding. If somebody becomes tipsy and becomes stupid and silly, it's not good.
What was the Lashon's Rambam, Lashon of Chet?
The Rambam's what?
Lashon of the word Chet.
What do you mean?
Chote?
Yeah, I raise a Chote. Chote means it was wrong. It's an Avla, it's wrong, it's something that he should not do. It's not attributable to a specific Chet, I think. Chote in the sense that it's wrong.
What if it's neither?
What do you mean? So why waste the money on a bottle of vodka? You know, let's discuss it. I'll tell you what it's used for. This person who I spoke to, who deals with addictive behaviors and so on, he told me that there's a whole medical team that treats people in pain. It's called Dr. Vodka, Dr. Marijuana, Dr. Heroin. For most people, for many people, drink is their attempt to escape a reality that's difficult. That's also a little mini suicide. I mean, Chazal say ten sheicha. It's a pasuk. Ten sheicha l'mori nefesh. An oynazal drink a little wine lahafig as a pachad. But for that to become so, sometimes if a person has has an issue they can't face. And so just like a person takes a pill for an antidepressant to get them over a difficult period of time, but when a person becomes dependent on alcohol to not deal with life, that's a dover ra. It's its own problem. It doesn't, you know, it's not a glass of water. There's a reason. So when a person does it without a reason, he's usually using it to escape a life that's unpleasant. In the old days, people lived in a castle. It was cold, it was boring, there was no entertainment. No TVs, nothing. So you drank all night. You know, that was how people. Yes, as a Russian, yes.
You don't get drunk. Going back to the Rama part. What would he say about like someone who's a foodie? Like, you know, they don't necessarily go out to eat, but they enjoy like, you know, some good food, even like just made at home. You know, they enjoy cooking.
No one can stop you from your enjoyment. I had a friend of mine, a Chava, a Ben Aliyah, Ben Taira, very cautious, and his family is kind of a little more, his wife says, a little bit more modern and with it. So he told me once, he got very annoyed at the table. They were sitting and discussing food or whatever. And he said, this has a very interesting taste. This piques your curiosity. This arouses your attention. Rabbi said, we'll talk about food like food. It's sweet, it's sour, it's good, it's bad. Don't use Misholim from Olam Machshava and Malbish on food. If a person has an appetite, he enjoys good food. The question is, how do you project it? Do you make an ASIC out of it? Or you know, if you like it, you eat it. But it's the question is, how much do you project? Like all these things here. You know, there's one thing when you sit and eat, there's one thing when you go and run after things. I think I told people, you know, people notice that one of the few things that I name myself to stand on lines for buffets and stuff like that. My father's a kind of racha. That was one of the things he was very makbid on. He said, you know, he came from Litta, where people had a very strong sense of isnagus. And he said the idea of grown-ups running around with a fork and knife looking to spare something. You know, it's one thing in yeshiva, you know, you have Excel, everything you like to pick up. It's another thing where you have a buffet and people are walking around in deep thought. Is it kedai to waste it on the cut this or on the roast that? And it says askus. You walk around, you know, with kelyacha and, you know, and the tzudeli tzayit. There's something, and I see sometimes, I see a person with a frock and a Hamburg walking around with a plate and a fork and a knife. I understand something. It's like, and I'm being oisik, and I'm thinking, I'm being choyke hakira, what, when, how, why. It's something about that surah. That's, now, every person has to make a cheshbon, where he's holding, what's right for him, and you know, like everything else, and where he's holding in terms of clamping down, and where it's going to cause him more grief than good, and so on and so forth. But it should the person should understand how you relate to things that tug at you, that your taiva pushes you, is a simon of where your relationship between your seichel and your guf is. Dalari speaks about in Yonim of Bein Ish L'Ishtoi, and again, between the things that are absolutely usur, and in the world of Heter, there are the same gedarim of what you consider appropriate in letting your taiva loose, and what you consider appropriate in reining in your taiva because your seichel is in control. And again, this is it'll be in our guest someday, and you'll learn it a little more in detail. Let's take a look at Vav. Tznius gedoyla noegin hercham be'atzma. Le'yizbazu le'yizkala roishan v'le'gufa. So, any type of exposing your body has in itself a certain gufnius. A person should be restrained. And it's one of these things where, from the extreme of a very yeshivisha, where you don't walk out. Someone told me, based on Talmud, there are two buildings. They once walked without a hat from one building to the other building. The buildings were next to each other. Or Jason, basically, was like the yeshiva and the trailers. And he got it over the head. That's one side of it. Rav Kreiser had an uncle, tremendous Talmud Chacham, Rav Shul Brudny. He was a yeshiva in the Mir in New York. He was a big Talmud Chacham and one of the most famous Magid Yeshivim in America. And besides, amongst one of his many qualities, he was extremely dignified. You never saw him in any pose or position that was less than absolutely dignified. One of the things was, he always wore a hat and his frack. So one day the Bungalow decided to surprise him, and they came when he was vacationing in a bungalow colony, and they surprised him, he was sitting and learning in a corner with his jacket without his hat. And they sat around him and started, and he was highly uncomfortable. And like he fidgeted and he said, wait, I think it's raining. He ran in, and as they followed him in, he already had his hat on. And he used it. So that's one extreme. I don't think that's not to wear. But on the other hand, people need to make decisions on when it's appropriate to wear shorts, at what age, at what station in life, shorts, you know, are no longer appropriate to walk around in. One of the things I could just tomorrow was you know, being that there were some women and girls in the camp here, you know, walking around without an undershirt was not appropriate, I guess. And in general, it's there's a certain gather, and a person needs to make a decision about what is appropriate. One of the most mindless, I wouldn't call decisions, I would call when habit is done in the most mindless way possible. Was here, actually, I once saw. I was here when they had the regular program, and one of the tutors was a boy from Ve'i Yeshiva Shei Yeshiva, and he came into Dab Mincha with a hat and a jacket, and a pair of swimming trunks. And I was trying to ask myself, like, I guess Das was absolutely missing. It would have been easier on me if he would have walked in swimming trunks and an undershirt. Because, okay, so he's not so mocked. What are you thinking exactly? Like he wasn't going to tell he wore a hat and a jacket even when he was away on vacation. And because nobody asked you if you wore pants or not. So I guess, you know, you ask about a bach, is a type of bach who wears a hat and a jacket. You don't ask if he's a type of bach who wears pants. You know, you sort of... I'm trying to figure out, where was, like, where's the seichel? I was thinking of back at such a lack of understanding. A person needs, the more he grows in seichel, in das, he needs to be makbid on the level of covering himself that is appropriate or inappropriate. I remember my father came from Litta, and there was very strong sense. He could never get over grown people walking around, you know, ball players playing ball, in shorts. It was something that was incredible to him, how a grown-up person would be willing to walk around in a shuk like that. So a person needs to be sensitive to it. And, I heard something from somebody. It's very interesting. This is a certain person who had a very, very hard time in yeshivas in general. And one of the things was, I don't think he liked any sense of authority on him. I don't think he liked to do anything by rules and regulations. Not a bad person, but this was like a sore issue. And I think one of his expressed himself was that he always what he wore was kind of on the atrocious side. Okay. I saw this person recently. He's a grown-up person with kids, you know, middle-aged kids, you know, like marriage, meaning all the kind of becoming teens. I happened to be in Nichum Avelim with him, and he was wearing shorts. I didn't say anything. It's not my business, you know, it's not my thing, it's fine. A few days later, I saw him in a regular middle of the week. I saw him in a suit and a tie and so on and so forth. And I said, wow, I almost didn't recognize you. I didn't know you owned one, is that? So he said, listen, I'm doing it because my lawyer told me I must do it. I have a corporation that deals not in a few measly millions, but I do deals in the tens of millions of dollars. And he said, and I need to project the chashivas of what I'm doing. That my lawyer told me it's important for the customers, it's important for the people I deal with, so I follow it to the letter. I didn't say anything, but it's exactly the point of how should a yeshiva bacha be dressed? The answer is by however you machshev yourself, that's how you should be dressed. Whatever level, just like that person told me, like when the lawyer told him, you're not dealing with measly $1 million. You're dealing with tens and tens of millions of dollars. And the person understood that. So we need to understand it. So there's two reasons why a person needs to dress in a certain way and what should be covered. First of all, as I'm growing and becoming more of a bar das, I need to dress appropriately. My level of das determines how my expression of it. So I should see myself as a nichbad, depending on the level of das. You had enough, Levi, or sit down, good. The level, so two things should determine the way you dress. One is the chashivas of yourself. The Torah says that kavod is equated with beged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made begadim for the marishan, and the halacha is that in certain ein bayt kim, it's machlokes and gemara if you bayt it for mezainis or for bigud. It's contrary to what we think. It's machlokes and gemara. Somebody comes to you and says, "I'm hungry. I must have something to eat. Could you get spare me something to eat?" Or a person comes to you and says, "I have nothing to wear. I need something to wear." It's machlokes and gemara. Which one is the one that you're not bayt it for? So the one eating, when I'm saying, I can't say I'm hungry, so give him a sandwich and you know, he wants. But someone comes and says, I have nothing to wear, I'm embarrassed to walk out, I can't walk out in this. That's a covered adam. And a person needs to look at himself inside. It's a problem. It's not that America has, and it's a mistake, it's not that America has a different sense of covered. Some places you wear a top hat, some places you wear a squash hat, some places you wear a walking stick, some places you wear riding sticks, on this. In America, the word is, there is an anti-Nichbados mentality. It's a place that rejected aristocracy and authority in general, and part of that is rejection of kavod. So one is, to person as he grows needs to understand, he needs to expose less of himself, less publicly. And again, I'll leave it to everybody to use his das, because that's what it's supposed to be. And secondly, when a person is in yeshiva, a person needs to value it. Like I told you the story, if a person who's doing deals, if someone were to take in Goldman Sachs, would you think people there would walk around in odds and ends? The answer is no, because there's a certain image to project. Depending on how innocent Hamatera. People ask where the yeshivish clothing came from. It came from because a suit was a sign of nichbadim. A hat was also. And it became rejected because that level of nichbadim fell off. But again, that's where it came from. Okay. Zion. Talmud, and it applies. It applies in Hadraga. So when you're in a city setting, there's one level that's mechubed. When a person goes out on vacation, there's another level that's mechubed. But again, there's always a level that's acceptable and a level that's not acceptable. Zayin, another area where it shows the control of the das and the seichel over the person's reflexes, of his guf's reflexes, of his emotions, is dibur. Zayin. Talmud Chochom leitzayik v'tzaveyach v'shas dibur v'em zuchayis. When a person yells and screams, when we say it's not polite, it sounds like it's, we agreed on certain things. It's polite to call somebody this, not that. The other things, when a person yells and screams, what's the pshat? I am reacting the way I feel, without thinking, without having any seichel or das imposing itself on it. It got me angry, I flew off the handle. I yelled and screamed. We once spoke about this. A person has two things he can express with speech. One is seichel, and that's through the deburim. And one is emotion, and that's through the koil. If I want to convince somebody of something, I talk. If I want to clobber somebody into submission, I yell. So one is a dibur as a hemshech of seichel, and one is dibur as another part of the guf. So like the Gemara has a shayla by tzeris, if a tanagol emits a coil, a high pitched coil that breaks a kois. So basically, that coil is it's a part of the guf in a sense. It's a koyach of the guf. It's a guf nisik koyach. So the dibur is the person speak, or does the person yell, scream, and so on? Ukeshi yedabe benachas yizoyesh leisrachek atzirur kedivit gazruach. There's a flip side of it. Sometimes people speak deliberately in a very affected way, that they're playing a game. And that's also a midara, because then the person's playing a game, ki'ilu, he's cool, and he's he's kind of, I'm not fazed by you, and I play with you, and so on. Again, the person uses his ash'ara, his das. U'maktim shalom chol adam k'shei ruchon echemenu. And you reach out to every person. You smile to a person, you say hello, good morning, and so on. v'donas kol mekav schus. So even though donas kol mekav schus is a midah that's nogea for everybody, but because a Talmud Chacham is somebody who has more seichel and das, he has the ability to put other people's action in a certain frame. Misape b'shach haver l'gnuso, and so on and so forth. Ches. One of the things you can tell on a person, one of those expressions, like we said, the klal gadol is that a person expresses his control over his guf, whether the guf does its own thing or the seichel is controlling it through different activities. One of them is the person's bearing. He says, "Lo yelech talmud chacham bekoymes skufa vegarin natui ki inyan shnema telachna to esgarim v'sakse nayim." You know, a person can walk in a way that he's staging. The person is kind of acting. And that's an element of yura, and there's an element of gaiv in it. V'lo yelech eke b'tzad goydel v'nachas k'ma noshim. You know, some people walk very deliberately. On the other hand, he shouldn't run. He's something that is the flip side of it. I want to add something that he doesn't talk about, but I think is very important. One of the ways to tell people's personalities is to watch them dance. And that's why I'm invited to dance. I don't dance that much. When a person dances in a way that he's deliberately, what's the right word for it, deliberately showing off his goof, there's something there that has in itself a reyach of sort of arayas in the sense, because again, you're projecting something. A dance can be extremely refined, it can be keitzem merakdim fakala, it can carry in itself, and a person needs to have that avchana to understand how, you know, is it being mavlit? Dance has a beauty in it because you take a goof that's kind of clunky and very goofy, and it becomes refined. It can also become mos. There can be a cure when a person emphasizes his goof in a way that is not appropriate. And that's something, part of a person's carrying of himself. That's especially sometimes meguna. A person's walk shows you what is the person doing. Is he going about his business? Is he showing off? Is he shuffling? There's something, the tenuous of a person in his goof. Inshallah. Tes. Malbush talmid chacham, malbush noy v'naki. V'asal ishi imotze bibigdo kesim oishanunis geitzebehem. So one side, one extreme is a person can't wear things that turn people off. When you wear stuff that's bad, dirty, filthy, creased, smelly, it shows a certain lack of control of yourself also. You're not on top of yourself. It's like whatever the goof is, it is. You don't wash it. You don't take care of it. Even though you have the other extreme. On the other end, lo yilbash le malbush malachim kli big dezer v'agamish akol mistakel bem lo yilbash aniyim shum vazes leifshav ala begodim beinim noyim. Person needs to make a cheshbon nefesh. What is appropriate for him to wear, so that the clothing does not. If the clothing draws attention to you, then there's a problem with it. The clothing should be subordinate to you. So if somebody makes a comment about your clothing, then there's a problem there. If somebody says, "Couldn't you find anything else?" or somebody says, "Where'd you get that?" Then what's it about? A person's clothing should blend into the person. And so on. And he speaks here about, again, these are some of the things that they get in Bezman Azev, is next halacha. Or in the middle halacha. Lo yeitze mevusam lashuk, v'lo yibigodim vusamim, v'lo yosim boisim besaroi, av'l imashach psori beboisim k'nei lahavis azua mamuta. Let's explain this. A person's personal hygiene habits, anything that's done to be moineya, an unpleasantness for somebody else, is positive. So whatever a person does in terms of rechitza and sicha, that's moneya, giving off something that would be unpleasant else, that's meshuvah. Putting on something that draws someone else is miguna. A person should not be in the business, a man should not be in the business of using some sort of perfume to attract others, whatever it might be. It's wrong. A person should be in the business of keeping himself clean and not being offensive to other people. And that's what he says, a person is not a walk out mevusim. Yud. Now, Yud is going to be probably the toughest nisayon in our lives. Yud. Talmud Chacham mechalkel dvar v'mishpat. And I think of all of the Rambam's halachas, this halach is probably, should be the central feature. As you begin to work, whatever area, have a job, have a family, and have expenses, you need to ask yourself, a person that makes decisions about what standard of living he pursues, that will probably be the most of the decisions we make most of our life, where to spend the dollars we have. So one way of doing it is to ask myself, what would I like, and to do that, and then figure out things afterwards. Seichel needs very much to come in first and say to himself, this is the income I have. What are the appropriate things to do? What's the level house I could have? What's the type of expense? What level should I set a budget for clothing? It should be something that the person makes decisions about. Mechalkel dvarav b'mishpat is the Rambam's hagdara of it. A person needs to sit down and say to himself, on this and this level of income, what are the appropriate expenses? And when a person is saying, I want or need this first, and then sort of fidgeting and working out things, that's not called mechalkel dvarav b'mishpat. A person shouldn't push himself. If a person needs to overextend himself at work to meet a certain level of living style, there's a problem there. So the type of expenses, what level food, what level clothing, all of those things should be determined by where I'm holding in terms of my income and what's coming in, and so on and so forth. Okay, Yud Aleph as a hemshich. Derech baledeya sheyikvah le'odem melacham fanesa setchila. It is the derech of baledeya to have an income first. V'achakach yikne beis tira, and then he should have a home. V'achakach yiseish, and then he should marry a woman. Now, this is one of the areas that the Rambam, it's mechalkel dvar b'mishpat, that's what he's saying. We don't do it like that. And the reason is, for many reasons, and this is one of the areas where, first of all, for us, if anybody was to wait till he could finish paying off a mortgage before he got married, most of us would die bachelors. That would be the result of it. It does not. It's the mitzvah say that. So again, we have to take into cheshbon that there is a mahalach today where a person can set himself up in a normal way, and it's a normal derech chayim, and that's okay. If a person is going kolol route, there's two things. First of all, there's also mahalach, a derech. A person says there's a norm. There's a norm that people live on X amount, something they get paid here, something they got there, something there. There's a certain mahalach in place for people to do it. Somebody who really wants to sit and learn with tremendous she'ifas, the Rambam gives us a heter of Shevet Levi, which allows him to be mufka d'arche olam. This is all d'arche olam. But akopanim, understand that it's part of that same thing of you need to have some plan in advance what exactly you propose to do. Yud Beis. The Osoloi Le Odom Le Hafgur Le Hakdish Kol Nechosev Et Yechal Abrius. Part of not being Mechal Kol Droch of a Mishpat is to give everything to Tzedakah and leave nothing for yourself. So what are you accomplishing? Yes, it's an extreme tzidkis, but again, it's a tzidkis that capsizes the boat. Person shouldn't sell a house to buy stuff. It's part of the normal, it's part of this mahalak I said before, mechalk of verb mishpat, that you prioritize your needs, and you know what you need first, what you need second. Avul moichem talam koin esadah, kol shal dover, yosim magamosei, latzliach nechosa v'lachli v'kola v'kayim. So it's interesting how the Rambam weaves in a part of a person's seichel. Let's explain the kuda, and you see how it fits so well. The guf knows only the here and the now. If it's up to our guf, a child will grab food and eat if he wants to, even if it's not healthy, even if it's so much as give him a stomach ache. No sense of tomorrow. That's the nature of the guf. The guf is here, and the guf is always lives in the present. The seichel of a person, the das of a person, is the projection in the future. So a person projects ahead, and he says, you know, if I eat it all today, I have nothing tomorrow. So the what allows a person, what directs a person to look at things in a longer span is seichel. The question of what a person does, and you have these famous experiments, you know, psychology, the kids are able to keep the marshmallow for tomorrow, and so on. The shulton of the das on the guf expresses itself in how much the person is able to, keep a control over it, and think of the tomorrow and not today. So when a person is immature, the Gemara says that a young child up to the age of 20 can't sell land, can't sell karka, even though he's 13 already. The answer is because it needs a special das, because land, a person has a big estate, he has this whole place over here, I don't know what it's worth, but he says to himself, but I really want the latest iPad or whatever it is. I'll sell a stick of land, what do I need this piece over there for? This is what I want now. The Rambam says that the general trend of a person's purchases should be things that are kavua versus things that are temporary. To blow something in a fancy meal where after 45 minutes, after an hour and a half, it's gone, is counter-seichel when you can use that money for something that to build up a certain, to build up assets. So a person, obviously we're not talking about a person who's hungry for money, but the money that you have, how do you deal with it? So the Rambam says it is part of doing things with seichel and das that we deal with it in prioritizing things that last over things that come and go. Yud Gimel. Maso matoni shel talmid chacham be'emes u'be'emuna. Oyma lav lav al hein hein. And it's part of the same mahalach we're saying. People don't like to keep their promises because yesterday I said I'm going to buy it. Today I have a better deal. So I allow my hanor today to trump my ability to make long-term commitments. That's what happens when a person's hand is in. When I say somebody's word is good as gold, what I'm saying is the person can direct his future activities today. And that's a mark of seichel and das in a person, that he can do that. And he says, another mita teva is, you're careful with other people's money, and you leave a little margin. So when you owe somebody a penny, you're prompt to pay it. When somebody owes you a penny, you're mevata, because it's nothing. It's not important. Person doesn't get engaged in business deals that can throw for a loop. mechayev atzmei b'dibrei mekhel mem kamo shekibrei sotoy ve'ena mechayev atzmei kedei sheyamid gur v'lo yishaneu. In order to allow himself to get into a situation where a person leverages himself in a way that he can't meet his commitments is a real problem. V'im nischayev l'acherim b'din mayrech u'mechler mal v'mechoynein v'loyotech unos chaver, which is interesting, it brings it here because it's halacha for everybody. It's also halacha, that's like everybody. One of the hallmarks of a Talmud Chacham is you take more punches than you give. You don't respond, by hitting back always. Your person is in a love vein or oilvin. For Adam Shaisakal Maisim Eloki Yetzaban, Akosim Oime Vayemeli Abdi Abdi Yisrael Shabuchai Spire. We said many times before that the word pe'er is spire means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mispa'er, when we have a meter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called kavod, means that I display externally a truth that is not visible. The maila of pe'er, pe'eris, is as follows. When a big, rough, tough giant comes in, carrying, I don't know, a big steel pike or something like that, we cringe because it doesn't look good. He's kind of, we see the strength and we see the mean look on his face and who knows what. When you see a very hushed person come in, he's a frail old man, it physically doesn't arouse in you any yira. But when a person dehairs the godless of that person, and the person is awed, and he makes a tnua of kavod because of his sense of being awed, that's a way to project something which is nister into a golidic reality. So when a Talmud Chacham acts in his physical life through the dictates of Seichel, on that it says Yisrael Asher B'chai Espoir. I guess I want to just finish with a Nakuda in general. I mean, one of the things in Yeshiva by us is we're kind of laid back, if you know what I mean. And it's not getting out the dress codes and all these inyanim. The reason, the underlying philosophy of it is, not that it's not important, but it's important as an expression of pnimius. When it substitutes for pnimius, it's bad. When it gets in the way for a person to develop pnimius, it's bad. So when you fanuja somebody on some external article, when it's really meant to be a projection of something internal, it has its counterproductive effect. That's sort of part of that philosophy. But the understanding is that as a person grows internally, he needs to project it outwards. And the core nekuda that we went through the whole Rambam is, the projection is less guf and more seichel. It's the hanhagas become an hanhaga of a nichbad, of somebody who's less guf and more seichel coming out. It's in terms of the person's bending to his taivis. Does the food have him, or does he have the food? Does he make a decision what he's eating, that's it? Or is he? Or anytime he sees food, he runs in a circle to get to it. It has to do with loudness and coarseness. Does he let himself loose, or does he control his emotions and act with seichel and with das? It has to do with how much he exposes himself physically, publicly. How much is he nichbad and tsunua, and how much is he all over the place? It has to do with how he directs his life. The prioritization of what he's buying, when he's buying, being mechal kadrach of a mishpat, I think is probably it should be the caption of his anhagas. The person uses seichel and says, these are the resources available. This is where I can go with it. If I want more, I'm going to have to use a lot more of my time and effort. I'm going to have to strain myself and do things maybe I want not to do. Is it a wise decision? Sometimes sometimes the needs are quite great, and there's no. But a person needs to go through the process. And I want to make a point about this. People always ask, had I known if I did the right thing or not. If you thought about it, asked about it, you employed seichel, so then you made a right decision. I don't know, Aliba de Shemaya will find out after 120. We're all in for the answer book is up there. There's no answer book here. But the criteria for if you did right or not is, was there thought behind it, or was there impulse behind it? Let me give an example of something that I find extremely counter to what the Rambam says. Person needs a shirt. Person needs a computer. Person needs this. He goes to a place that sells the stuff and he buys it. Or he goes online, I guess, and buys it. Now, there's another thing. A person can go shopping. And going shopping means, let me see which store is going to snag me. Which store is going to have something nice that will attract me. So I have nothing to do. I don't think I need anything. But let's go to the mall and see. Maybe I'll find something nice. The right thing is maybe something nice will find me. In other words, and maybe it's like maybe somebody will pickpocket me. I don't need anything. Right now, do you need anything? I don't need anything. So why are you going to the mall? So if you have kids, you always say it's for the kids you're going. But if you, without that, you need the answer is, Rabbi Shapiro once said, a gewaldig agdara. You know, we know that the mon tasted like whatever you wanted to taste. So how do we envision it? We hear the story in sixth grade, or fifth grade, or fourth grade. Lakewood, maybe even first grade. I don't know when they teach the Chazal, but they know it already then. So it tastes like, what do you envision that it's like? What is your seichel envision? So I didn't grow up in Lakewood, so these be comic books when we were young, Richie Rich. I don't know if anybody, I don't think exists still or not. And the Milo was, he was a very, very rich kid, and he had such a set of a water faucet. He had like this whole row of fountains that you can open up. And this was Coca-Cola, and this was 7-Up, and this was this, and ice cream, anything, you know, that's what he had. So we pictured, that was the mun like. The mun was like this open bar of 95 flavors, and do whatever, you know, whichever flavor you want. That's the mile of the mun. And to quote Rabbi Shapiro, "Magil lachshov kacha," like it's sickening to think that the maila lanita terlech leman means that the people who, he said, the kilkel of Eitz Hadas was that Adam, it was a fight between the Adam and the Pri. The Adam knew that the Pri is poison. The Pri was a tremendous PR malashim Pri. It was nechmad lahaskil. It was taivalei nayim. The priest said, "I'm fantastic." The Yetzirah in the priest, it doesn't make a difference. And Adam was seichel was nichna to the projection of the priest. So the priest said, "Eat me. I'm red. I'm tasty. I'm sweet. I'm luscious. Eat." And the person fell. So this was the feel of Adam where he seichel was nichna. The man was whatever I decide. Its time is. That's what its tam is. It's the other way around. It's not the pshat is that the pri has a tam and I'm tempted by it and taken by it. It's fascinating. Akadosh Baruch Hu made the bria that everything needs to reproduce itself. So the peiros in a tree have in themselves qualities that bring the animals to the tree to eat it and to take it away. And so it has colors for certain animals and a smell for another animal and nectar for another animal. And that's how it propagates itself. That's the Teva de Bria. Adam is not supposed to be another animal on that line. Adam is supposed to make that decision and say, this is good, this is not good. So the reversal of the roles where a person can make decisions and it's nicker in his anhaga that the das is the dominant chelik. The way he walks, the way he carries his body, the way he dresses, all of that is part of it. So, like we said when we started, it's a klal gadol. Not all the Pratim Rambam exactly can apply. Whether we eat pitzarayim, we eat this. But, and it's also in gradations. It's not everything or nothing. It's chachma should be directing you to acting more and more. And, you know, as you go through life, you have different decisions, different places, and different things. You make them with that in mind. You know, whether a person should eat in a restaurant or not is not only whether the restaurant is kosher and hechsher, obviously. But should a person say, why am I eating out all the time? What's the eating out? They call it tarbut achila. It's the culture of eating, the eating culture. A bal das should not have an eating culture. He should eat because he needs to eat, because he wants to eat. Doesn't mean he has to eat, you know, lettuce and water. But it means eating is not his life, and talking about it and reading about it and being oisik in it and being kaver. That's when a person's kaver siyum and he serves food. He's being kaver around the siyum and he serves food. When a person says, "Let's have a party," so he's kaver himself on Michael Mishta, and maybe they find an excuse for it, maybe not. They figure out whose birthday it is, if that, you know. First thing, let's have a party. We'll get somebody with a birthday to come in. You know, that's the klalo of it. I'll go party. Okay, so. What? There'll be a scene with